Lord, we thank you for your, how powerful, Lord, your word is to us. Lord, your spoken word written, Lord, thank you for it. And I just pray that we just hang out there together, God, you would, Lord, just give us insight into you, Lord. Open our minds, Lord Jesus, you send scripture to understand scripture, truth that sets us free. Amen. All right. Always learn with that, doing that liturgy, to always have it open and look at it and read it, because at any moment, especially with me, because I'm always thinking about all kind of stuff at the same time, you forget the words. All right. I had a kind of cool thing happen. I've had this happen a handful of times in my walk with the Lord, where we've been talking to the kids in chapel. We've been talking about how God just speaks in all kind of cool ways, you know, how he speaks, and he's speaking all the time around us. You know, we've talked about, you know, numbers and seeing clock, you know, time on clocks, or, you know, bumper stickers or all that kind of stuff. Like the other day, one of our numbers the Lord uses to encourage me is 555-555, you know. Been that way for years, since 2005, because something happened on May the 5th in 2005, which is 555, right? And so even since then, the Lord does that. And then 444, about seasons and things happening quickly. And so we were out the other day, and two different cars I pulled up behind. One had 555 on his number, on his tag, you know. The next one had 444. And then there was one with 222, which is... all numbers were really cool to me, right? 222 being that always out of Genesis and Joseph, when Pharaoh had the two dreams, and that God was going to do it and then bring it about quickly, you know. What about my healing? So he's so big and sovereign. I mean, think about orchestrating all that to happen that day, so I would be behind those cars at that particular time, right? It's just so big. And but anyway, one of the ways he's spoken to me a few times is I've come in my office, and my Bible will be right there, you know, my desk open, and it'll be open to a place where I didn't leave it there. You know, I didn't leave the Bible there or open it to that. And like a page would be bent or whatever, it'd be, you know, just right there. That's happened a few times, like a handful, I say, you know, over the years. That's really cool. Or I picked up my Bible and a page will be bent, right? And that page bent, I'll go to wherever that page was bent, and it is a exact promise or exact word I've been asking the Lord for concerning something. It'll be an answer. I mean, just no doubt. That's really cool. Or page numbers. He does that a lot with me. He'll tell me what page number to turn to in my Bible, okay? Now, that's just years of being with him, right? Because a lot of people have done that and said, man, every time I get a page number, I'll turn to it, it'll be some, you know, something in the Old Testament where people are being slaughtered, or, you know, something like that, and then just, or nothing. So just keep at it, you know. The Lord, you just kind of learn how to, and it's fun when he does stuff like that. I like that, because it's like, you know, God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us, so we can go search it out. And I love doing that kind of stuff. So, anyway, Wednesday, I went home. I was going to stay home for a Wednesday night church, having a hard time, but then I had to come back into town to get my computer. It was at CVS. I ordered one, and the UPS left it there. And so I came in, and TC was here. She didn't know I was coming, so she went over next door to just borrow my Bible to use it, and brought it over here. And I use these little plastic things, little page markers you can put in your Bible, little plastic things that so I can go right to it. And I line them up, usually in my Bible, in this hard page here. I'll line them up all there so I'll have them. Then I'll, you know, take one and mark. So they're all moved to the middle of my Bible, you know. And I said, I thought TC did it. I said, hey, did you do this? Why did you do that? I mean, why did, you know. She said, I didn't do anything. I just went over there and got it and brought it over here. So something put all those things in my Bible right there, but to a locked door in my office. And so I knew it was the Lord, you know, angelic deal. So So let me see where they're all marked. It wasn't one page. I thought it was kind of one place, but it was all right there together, and just this bunch of scripture that fell together, and they all tied together. And the first one was it was about something the Lord spoke to me back in May. You remember May the 8th is when all that cool stuff started happening here. On Mother's Day, new beginnings and all that kind of stuff. And toward the end of that month, the Lord really began to speak to me about, you know, he did it for a reason at that time of the year, going into the summer, you know, and it was like one of the reasons, probably many reasons, but one of the things the Lord was speaking to me is be careful of distractions, because the summer is the time when people are more distracted than any other time of year. You know, what I mean is, well, that's the time of vacations and all the kind of stuff, you know, people do, and sports and all that stuff. So the Lord just gave me these things to be, you know, it was almost like give to the body. And you have to be careful giving words like that, because you don't want to come across with, so anybody will get guilty or get condemned, you know, because that's not the Lord. There's no condemnation in Christ, but he will expose the enemy's schemes at the same time. So, and it was like, beware of people pulling at you. I said, there's going to be family pulling at you to do stuff and to pull you away. And there's going to be, you know, things you can do where you make, and be careful of the choices you make, because that you're not being pulled away from what God is doing here. And so you have to take that with grace, and because that's what the enemy does. You know, he distracts us. He keeps us away, right? The best way to attack us is to keep us away. One of the distractions to be careful was offenses. That one of the distractions would be guard your heart because of offenses, where people have offended you or hurt you, or something happens, and then you don't come here because someone hurt you or offended you. So you're just keeping us staying away, or what, something in that. And so kind of got that out there and didn't think much about it. And one Sunday, we're having prophetic words, and Woody said, he started speaking about distractions. And so I should have got up and said something, but I heard distraction and infractions. So I thought, I think I know what infractions mean. I'm going to have to look it up. I like stuff like that, because then I know it's the Lord. It's not me just making up stuff. Infraction can be, you know, where you breach a contract, or an infraction where you transgress, right, a law or something, where, you know, forgive us our transgressions as he forgives us of our transgressions. So I knew what the Lord was saying in that. Be care of distractions and be weary of infractions, which is carrying an offense, getting your feelings hurt, and watch it with the body of Christ, of people, you know, because what that does is, so, all right, saying all that, places these are marked. First place was 1 Samuel 26. Saul was after David, wanted to kill him. And David had been anointed king by Samuel years before. And he was kind of on the run for a part of his life, about 8 years, and Saul was trying to kill him. So Saul and his men were camped in the area, and they were, you know, bedded down to sleep, and Saul was laying in the middle of them, had his spear stuck in the ground by his head. David and one of his guys came into the camp, got his spear, could have easily killed him, but didn't. And so they went off, and the guy with David said, why didn't you kill him? God surely has put him in your hands. And he said, far be it from me that I would lift my hand against God's anointed. You know, there's another time, too, where in a cave where Saul was in there going to the bathroom, doing his business, and David was in there and could have killed him. And he said the same thing again. People were saying, do this. And he said, far be it from me that I should lift my hand against God's anointed. And he says in there, especially in the 26, where my Bible was marked, God will deal with him. God will take care of that. You know, it's not for me. So really good teaching in there about, you know, Watchman Nee wrote a book about spiritual authority. So the real principles in there about not lifting your hand against God's anointed. But the Lord was really using it even in a deeper sense, that we all are God's anointed. We are all in Christ together. So the second place, it's tied in together, was 2 Samuel 9, which is the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was son of Jonathan, the only surviving son. David and Jonathan were in this covenant together. So, you know, Jonathan had been killed at this time, and so the only surviving member of that household was the son Mephibosheth, who was crippled in his feet. 5 years old, nurse, the lady was keeping him. You know, they're being attacked. She picked him up, took off running, and tripped and fell. and he was wounded for the rest of his life, paralyzed. So in that story, I'm nutshelling as much as I can. David searched him out because he wanted to show him kindness and goodness because of the covenant. So really picture of David being the father, Jonathan, Jesus, Mephibosheth, people in Christ, us, that the Lord wanted to pour out his blessing, favor. And so Mephibosheth, you know, got him, and then David said, I want you to sit at my table. And all kind of stories in there of having crippled feet, stand at his table, as our in our weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. And if we get up and try to move, we're going to fall on our face kind of thing, right? So the Lord was just saying about how important it is not to carry offenses, not to carry unforgiveness, being unmerciful to someone. And one thing TC and I do, we, you know, we don't get everything perfect, of course. One thing we really try to do with each other is we never carry an offense. We never carry the other person's offense. If she gets her feelings hurt or I get mine, we don't help them carry that offense. We lead them to forgiveness. Hey, forgive them, right? Forgive them. Let it go. Forgive them. Let it go. Our children the same way. They can come, blah, 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 blah. Forgive them. Let it go. So now that's hard to do because sometimes you want to take up this thing with your children. You know, they hurt my child and I'm going to, you know. Before long, we've got an offense against that person and causes problems, right? Cause problems with my relationship with the Lord because he can't pour out all of his kindness and goodness on me if I have an offended heart. That is one of the things the Bible is really plain, that every sin that man commits is a speck. Unforgiveness is a log. And we can't see specks if we got a log in our eyes, right? The whole context of that is withholding mercy from a person. So if things happen in our lives, then if I can come to her, hey, man, I got my feelings. I'm upset about this. This person, she do this, you know. And I'm like, well, you don't understand. You know, try to get her to do it. And then, but she leads me to life. The best thing we can do for each other, that's loving each other, right? That's loving each other when we're saying forgive, because that's going to eat you alive, right? Now, forgiveness is a cancer. It kills us. It's a poison we drink thinking that it affects someone else. It's a killer. So again, the Lord was saying, and then the other one was First King. I think it was in 1 Kings 1 about where Solomon was being anointed, made king. And then he built the temple. So another, as a Song of Solomon, right? That's a big thing that we teach here all the time. The heart of God, the whole thing about our union with Christ, all the things of the tabernacle, just really a type of what guard your heart. Do not raise your hand against God's anointed. God wants to bless you and pour out his kindness. He wants to bring you in union greater with Solomon. And then there was one more. I hadn't had time to refine this. I thought I was going to have some time today, but ended up doing some ministry. So, and the fifth one was, I don't think I've really had a chance to go this, all of that yet. Where the Lord gave, oh, the Lord gives Solomon wisdom, discernment, breath, where the Lord just poured out on Solomon what he had asked. He all of a sudden had wisdom from God. That's what he asked for. He asked for that, not riches. So he was filled with Jesus. So the whole thing is about where the angels had marked my Bible is a word for me, a word for us is, again, and the Lord keeps shouting it, don't carry an offense. Because when we do, we lift our hand against God's anointed, which is each other, right? Because, you know, in James, if you go back and read the book of James, you know, when he wrote them and all the churches under his care, man, they were just tearing each other up with their tongue, right? They were jealous. They wanted a position in the church. They wanted this. And so they were just, that's the whole reason he wrote that thing in chapter 3 about the tongue, because that's what they were doing. And so he speaks to them. And then, in chapter 4 and all this cool stuff, he says, don't speak against one another, brethren. You know, he just told them says you want this, or you're fighting, you're arguing, you're committing murder. What do you mean the committing murder? They were taking people out, you know, clipping them. No, they were with their tongue. Scripture says, if we hate our brother, we're murderers, right? The word hate is the word reject. So he talks to them about that. Don't speak against one another, brethren. Then in chapter 5, don't gripe and complain against each other, brethren. And then he says, because so that you won't be judged. The judge, God, is right at the door, and it's, you know, and he goes on talking about that. That again, Jesus laid that out pretty clear, that by the standard, our standard of measure, it'll be measured back to us. Blessed are the merciful, they should obtain mercy, right? So the more I give and walk in that, then the more I'm going to receive. Then the more I walk in, the more revelation that God's going to give me. That's what he's saying. You want the revelation. You want the revelation of being in union with Christ. You want everything that I'm doing now. You want a breakthrough to enter this room called encounter. Then I'm going to make it real easy for you to do that. Let go of any offense that you've got. And it's so easy, God, you know, to get upset or they're not doing this right, especially in the body. You know, then that's what the enemy does. It spends his time. So if our heart is pure, blessed are the pure in heart, they see God. So I'm going to give that to you, what he's given to me. And he didn't give that to me to so I'd have something to talk about. He gave it to me for me because I want it. I want all of it. Christ became to us wisdom from God, Scripture says. All the wisdom in the world, it says, dwells in Christ and he's in us. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, I want that in the fullness. Well, okay, I want to give you that in the fullness. Then don't lift your spear up. Got to deal with whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever it is, marriage, family, church people, whatever. Got to deal with that person. You know, he'll take care of that. Whatever. Because if it's an infraction, this is with that's about him and the Lord, you know? So, distractions and infractions and the distraction of an infraction. Let it go. Because the Lord wants to, Song of Solomon 4, bring us to places where we're riding in the sedan chair with Jesus. You know, our union with him. That's how we get there. And that's how we get the more. So, again, I think the Lord's just constantly challenging us to give us more. Never. Why would the Lord? The Lord wouldn't just make us feel guilty and condemn us. No, he's like, look, I want you to have it all. But if I want you to have it all, okay, I'm supposed to grab something with it all, but I've got something in my hand, I'm going to not be able to grip it, right? And that's what offense is. Something in my hand, I got to let go. And then I can grab all that Jesus has, all that he is. And that's a big deal. That is the main distraction that will hinder us, keep us from everything, right? Because the more you get to know the Lord and the more you see how merciful he is. Remember in the Old Testament, he spoke to people from the tabernacle, the ark, right? And he spoke to them from the top of the ark, this gold thing. I think that may have been one of the things too. Called the mercy seat. When Moses would go and hang out with God in the tent of meeting, it said God spoke from the mercy seat. Showing us what it's going to be like to be in Christ. He speaks through the mercy seat. He speaks to us as those who are spotless, altogether beautiful, no blemish. He speaks to us that way. Therefore, he lives in us. We are to speak to people that way and see people that way. And if we don't, then all the Lord shows us is we just need more revelation of how good he is, and how merciful he is to us, how much we need. And that's part of the deal. And my weakness is his strength is made perfect. So, hook it up. Good thing. Good stuff, huh?